Sports fans rejoice. You're listening to My Team, My Voice with MTMV Sports.
Out of adversity and trauma, challenges and hardship, from the streets of Kansas City, a shoe company was born. Birthed from the desire to serve others and provide high quality cleats and sneakers at an affordable price, we present to you Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle. Order now at OzellBrand.com.
In there, let's get to it.
What's going on, family?
You already know, man. Thoroughly excited, man. Tapped in with the 494 here on MTMV Sports. Look, we about to get started. 30 seconds on the clock. Tap in with us. Let's get it.
Get it.
No. Not that. YouTube, we got to watch out for YouTube. 30 seconds on the clock. We'll try this again. What's going on, family? It's the 494 here on MTMV Sports. What's popping? Look, we at it again. Another Monday evening with my boy, Wildress, and my girl, C. How y'all feeling tonight, man?
Hi, guys. I'm feeling good.
I'm glad
to be better, but I'm feeling good.
That's it. That's it. We know it. Well, T, what's going on with you, baby?
I'm here, man. I'm copacetic. I'm chilling. Unproblematic poo.
Unproblematic. You gonna try to coin this nickname, huh?
Unproblematic poo.
That's a real nickname.
The poo. It's the poo pot for me.
That's my childhood nickname. That's my mom still call me to this day.
Call poo? You poo?
Yeah.
Not unproblematic poo.
Well, I'm unproblematic now because I'm.
I don't think so. Because according, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
Wow, yo, you starting now already?
Listen, shots were thrown at me early last week.
Nah, yo, I ain't throwing shots. I told the truth.
Say, got receipts, man.
You forgot about
it. I'm chilling. I'm minding my business. I'm out here drinking tea. You know what I'm saying? Herbal tea. I'm listening to jazz music. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching rom-coms. I ain't bothering nobody. I'm
at the rom-coms. Forgetting things. People.
I don't know what you're talking about. I went to the doctor. I'm out here getting healthy. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to prepare for Miss Telefair, whoever she is, you know what I mean? So we can chill and watch Disney movies and I can tell her my conspiracy theories on why Simba killed Mufasa. I'm not doing nothing what you're talking about. Yo, Simba killed Mufasa, dog.
Simba?
Yeah.
That's a heavy conspiracy theory.
He set Mufasa up and he used Scar to do it. I'm not about to do this job. In Aladdin.
Wait, hold on.
Aladdin ain't nothing but an ATL scammer. Let's be honest about that. Okay. I can show you the world.
You're ruining my childhood movies. Cut it out.
I can show you the world. He taking her to East Atlanta and back because he can't afford to go nowhere else. Let's be honest.
I ain't mad. I'm not mad at that. That might be a little too real for these folks out here.
They need real. This one.
Well, look, man, we're going to start the show off, man, by paying respect to a legend. The news did come out that Coach Paul Silas has passed away as a player. Two-time NBA All-Star, 5 selections to the NBA All-Star defensive team, including twice on the first team, 3 NBA championships, 2 with Boston, 1 with Seattle. Just a crazy, I think, looking back to all of the players that were able to post and talk about it and the type of players that he's affected, I mean, when you think about the accolades and everything from player, coach to that Paul Silas did, what's the biggest thing that sticks out to you when you think about his lifetime as we lost the legend? T, I'm gonna start with you, bro. Will, start with you.
Are you sorry? I think he was just an incredible individual overall. I mean, you can look at, you know what I'm saying, the fact that he was a multiple-time NBA champion. You know, he was a coach. He coached LeBron at the beginning of his career. I didn't like how that played out with Eric Snow. But he was definitely a great individual. He was a mentor to many. Even Michael Jordan spoke on the influence that he had on the game of basketball. I mean, he was All-American, all defensive. You know what I'm saying? He was somebody who literally worked hard. Like, he got his first coaching job in the 80s. Things didn't pan out, unfortunately. He didn't get his next head coaching job until like the 90s. Like, to be able to walk through, be an assistant coach, and do all that work and continue on. And from where everybody spoke about him, he was constantly positive. Like, that says a lot about him. His son even now coaches the Rockets, and you can see shades of Paul in Steven. So definitely condolences to his family. An amazing man, three-time champion for a team that two-time champion for a team that I'm not a fan of, the Celtics, and then once with that Seattle Supersonics team actually in 79. So definitely sending condolences to an amazing man, great coach.
Definitely, for sure. See what you got, man. Thinking about Paul Silas in its entirety, the totality of what he was able to put together. I mean, that resume is crazy.
The credible leader he was. You know, I agree everything that Will said, but, you know, just the fact that when you think of legend, you just think about the impact that he left on everybody who spoke about him and the way he was able to lead players, people on and off the court. So that's when you think of a legend, you think of what type of leader he is. And that's what I think of him.
Yeah, for sure. I think when you put anything in the legend category, it was the impact. What was the impact like? And Paul definitely embodied that. So from the 494 NTNV Sports, man, definitely want to just give our condolences to the family. Shout out to just an amazing person. This is just outside looking in. Imagine actually being on those inner circles and those coaches' huddles on the court playing as a teammate. You got to see it firsthand, man. So outside looking in, absolute amazing, man. Definitely going to be missed in the NBA world. And we lost a legend, man. So definitely condolences to the family, man, and shout out to them for sure. Definitely on another note, we wanted to kind of cut it to being celebratory, as well as BG getting the news that she was coming home after the U.S. and President Biden and his administration made this trade for the Russians arms dealer. We've heard everything. The I'm glad she's here. Why we ain't go get Waylon? Why, you know, this or that? Like, just all types of stuff. Sporting a new haircut, by the way, which is crazy. I did not expect to see that. It was wild. But see, I'm gonna come to you. I want to know what your first impression when you saw the news. I mean, 10 months in a Russian prison. That's not for the faint of heart. You know what I mean? So being able to get back on the plane, come back. I remember a story, and you'll probably talk about this, but I remember reading a story. And the guy who was over getting everything together, getting her on the plane, like, his story was she just wanted to talk. She'd been listening to Russian people talking Russian for 10 months, and she just wanted to talk. And on the 18-hour, however long the flight was, she was talking to every single person on the plane, like, you know, learning about them, asking questions about them, like, just being this just hospitable, like, just gracious and courteous. I mean, you just spent 10 months in a Russian prison. This is not what you should be doing, or, you know, extending these pleasantries, which is crazy. But what was your initial take when you saw the news? Look, the deal is done. BG is prepared to come home, and this thing's gonna get the ball rolling.
I was shocked. I'm not even gonna lie. Between the text, the phone calls, Instagram posts I received, I was shocked. And then I was like, so happy, because 294 days in another country, not knowing what's going to happen to you, us not knowing where you are, what's going to happen. Yeah. But then also came the anger. Because there are some ignorant people in this world. Facts. There are some people that you want them to comment on your post about you graduating. You want people to comment on your post when you reach your 50th episode. You want them to comment on your post when you go live every Monday or you share episode every Sunday, and they don't. But as soon as, you know, this humble woman who has been illegally detained for 294 days, where Biden has done absolutely nothing for this country, and he finally does something that a lot of us are very happy about, did something, and the first thing you want to do is say something ignorant.
Definitely some ignorant comments out there.
The first, like, and all I want to know is just, like, why? Like, can we have the moment? Just a day. 2 hours. An hour. Half an hour.
Yeah, it can't quit.
The moment to just, we won. Being a gay woman, a gay Black woman at that, is just, like, we have something to celebrate for once.
Well.
That she is coming home to be with her family, her friends. Yeah. Before the holidays, that she didn't die over there, that we didn't forget about her over there. Man. And all you guys want to be worried about is, well, she did break the law. So what? You broke the law.
Facts.
Some people are just so ignorant. Oh, he killed so many Americans. He's coming. Guys, he was sentenced to 25. He served 22. He was coming home anyway end of the day.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, well, Trump this and Trump that. Well, the guy Waylon was captured under Trump's thing. Well, he didn't get him home when he was there. So how good was Trump that you complaining about this man? I get it. Yeah. I understand it. But can we have our moment? I think that's why I was so upset, is because it's never, you can never have your moment. We can never have a win. We can never have just to let her be home. She wasn't rude on the plane when she was getting to know everyone. You see, that's who she is as a person, how humble she was. She didn't have to speak to anybody.
Facts. After an experience like that,
she could have just sat on the plane, just hurry up and got home, but she wanted to get to know people. She wanted to talk. She wanted to English, you know, get to know somebody, you know, you know, and you're not. And it was just so many people. I always was told, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say it. And I feel like in this moment, that's the time that you should have used it. Just shut up. Sometimes some people was just saying some ignorant stuff. And I just was just like, you know what? Blocked. I did a lot of blocking that day.
Blocked.
I did a lot of blocking on that day, especially on Twitter, because woo. Some people just don't deserve that entertainment.
Yeah. Well, what you think, man? I mean, when you first got the news, obviously it's something we've been waiting for 10 months. We watched the WNBA and their ceremonies, the salutes, the just everything that was coming along with that, NBA stars, actors, actresses, whatever. Talk about this for 10 months, and it finally ended up happening. Let me ask you this, and then get into your opinion of your first seeing the news. Was there anything to you where you were thinking Russian arms dealer, Brittany Griner? And was that a thought for you when you got the news, like when you figured out what trade was made?
That's an immediate surprise like everybody else had, but it wasn't like a, oh my gosh, how dare they? It was like a, listen, they did what they do. Like, you know what I mean? I host another podcast with my partner Shakira called Coach Gumbo, and we talk about it. And one of the things that you have to understand is that there was a process to it. Like they went through a major process. At one point, I believe the U.S. tried to offer a couple other individuals. I think Russia actually wanted somebody else that the U.S. couldn't get because he was actually jailed in Germany. So that was something different. For me, I didn't like the fake outrage. Like that's the one thing about social media is people do have fake outrage. Like, yo, you ain't know nothing about the Merchant of Death. Now all of a sudden you're a political science major and you're telling us all this other information. And if you want to be honest about it, not to get too political, but Trump had the opportunity to trade Waylon for the Merchant of Death before, and he said no. So the up in arms about Waylon coming home, and also when you consider the entire background of Waylon, which I don't want to get into because I don't feel the need to slander somebody else to celebrate somebody else. But it was just one of those things where, like, yo, we got somebody home. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. Like, that's what the country's supposed to do. Everybody doesn't like the president, everybody like, but like, y'all were screaming for 9-10 months. Like, Biden got to do something. He got to get something done. Now he gets it done. And now, like, you up in arms about it. And I question, what are you truly up in arms about? Are you up in arms about the fact that this black gay woman was able to come home? Are you up in arms about, because I had to check a couple friends of mine where somebody was just kind of like, yo, she's a C-level basketball player. And I'm like, so you didn't even read. You
remember that.
Went off thought. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like on Facebook, somebody else was like, y'all don't hear nothing else about it. And I was like, well, I dare you to say something about it. Like, I'm a bully today. Like, so, you know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things where it's like, yo, you have your thoughts, but it's okay to be happy for someone else to come home to their family. You know what I'm saying? And at the same token, feel how you want to feel. But I don't like people slandering to make someone else feel better or feel water about it. And they're still trying to bring Waylon home. You know what I mean? So it's not one of those things where it's just a closed case. Like, Russia wanted something different for Waylon that they couldn't get that at the time.
If people don't know and understand that situation, Waylon is for Russia, that's a big whale.
Yeah.
From what they got, he's on espionage charges. Like, this ain't possession charges like BG. Like, it was much more deep than that. My man got 4 passports, disarmed, discharged from the Marines. So that's not even like, technically you ain't even supposed to put that on like your resume no more. Like, you can't, that's like a stain for the rest of your life. Not saying, and I don't want to speak ill of a prisoner regardless, but if we're gonna bring apples to apples, then you need to compare the two because they're not the same. You know what I mean?
I just feel like unless you in the military and you served it, or you know what I'm saying, you went through anything, you can't tell me nothing about outrage, because most of the people didn't know who Victor Bullitt was before any of this ever happened. Right. And they're not gonna be concerned with it in the month. That's my issue. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't tell you everything. I'm just a person where if I find out something, I'd rather read about it and understand about it. Cause, like, you know what I'm saying? You genuinely, when you first hear about it, you're excited for BG to come home, and you're like, dang, that was who to trade for. Like you do ask yourself that question, but you have to understand like the process of how this works out. And we don't fully know everything that went on in that room, everything that went on those phone calls. So I'm just happy BG home and move forward.
But at the same time, guys, you know how you are with your conspiracies. We truly don't know what they're saying he was arrested for is truly what he was arrested for. You know what I'm saying? Like,
big facts. All right, man. So definitely talk about it. We're absolutely excited here on the show for BG to be home 10 months from possession charges in a different country, in a country where you've won championships in, which is absolutely crazy. So you had advocates there in the country. It's just, the whole situation is crazy, man. But at the end of the day, BG is going to be home with her family. And I think regardless of how you feel about anybody, the color of their skin, their sexual orientation, what they're doing with their lives, like, that person is back home with their family for the Christmas holidays that has not seen them in 10 months. Looks completely talk different. Could be nothing. A completely different person. You know what I mean? So that's the biggest thing for me. They're back. She's back home. She's back with her family. And we're going to celebrate that. Now let's get to this next segment. This next segment, we're going to talk about $1 million worth of game. Now, I haven't watched a lot of their episodes, but anytime I see any basketball player that I believe to have value as a basketball mind and a basketball experience.
Oh, you mean knuckleheads? Knuckleheads, mom.
Was it knuckleheads?
Yeah, knuckleheads.
Okay, my apologies. So knuckleheads. So thinking about like anybody who could get into this interview and then be able to share a person, especially like a Kevin Garnett, who's been at the top of the game, won a championship, very outspoken. We know his trash game is crazy. Trash talk game is crazy on the court. We hear stories about it all the time. But I want to know, make sure, like, and see, I'll start with you. What was the biggest thing you took from that? Like, we've talked about the Steph interview with JJ, all the guests he's had on there. We found out different sides of Steph when we watched the interview. When you watched that interview, did you see different sides of KG that wasn't just the basketball player that we knew for all those years? And after watching that interview,
That interview was fire. He's a great storyteller. So regardless, he was telling a story about him growing in the interview, and I was intrigued from the time that the interview started to the time that the interview ended. Like, KG is just one in a million, like, the entire time. But the part that stood out to me, there was two parts where he said what he learned most is when he went the word saying the word no, when he went to the draft, is when he got comfortable saying the word hell no. And when he said working through the fear, I, knowing KG and seeing him talk his smack, I would never think he had any type of fear in him. Mm-hmm. Like playing when he was playing in South Carolina and going up against these dudes and, you know, these prep guys, you know, these big white dudes, and not even being, I forgot the guy's name. He said his name was, but it was like just the guy you wouldn't, like, he was just from the neighborhood and he made a paid in full reference. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how he had fear, but you only get better if you fear these guys and you come back and beat these guys. And I just would never expect that from a KG, talk about him being scared of some guys being in South Carolina. Like, that's just not coming. Hearing that come out of his mouth, I just wasn't that. And then another part that I took out of that is hearing him, how he said he took everything personal. So when Pat Riley said, what are we here for? Who are we here to see? And he just started dunking everything. And he said, and then he was like, you're here to see me. And he started wiling. And then he just, when he knew that he was about to be in the NBA.
So I love that fire, man. That fire is, there was a kid tonight, funny. We were at my son's basketball game. We're watching, and there's this kid on the other team. And he just has this fire. Like, I see him getting like, come on, man. I mean, these are middle school, sixth graders. He's like, come on, man. What are you doing, bro? Like, let's come. And he clapping up the court. And I'm like, That's a Pat Bev in the flesh, man. I love it. Every team with a little dog like that. And KG was that dog. You know what
I
mean?
And when he was telling the story, I felt like I was in the room. And I could see Pat Riley. I could see KG. Yeah. I could see Kevin McHale just there. I felt like I was in the audience watching him dunk and being there, you know, like, you know, working out, you know, making his way into the NBA. So I just felt like the entire interview, I was sitting in the room with the Knucklehead podcast, being a part of that entire interview. That's what I loved about it, because I felt like I was truly in the room.
You gotta love it, man. You gotta love it. Will, let me get to you, man. When you feel, look at this thing, like, what was it? What was it? Was it nostalgia? Because I know KG's one of your guys. Like, was it nostalgic listening? Was it like, oh, okay, I didn't know these things about KG for real. Like, what was going through your head as you was watching this interview, bro?
It was dope to listen to. A lot of the, like, you know, C mentioned some really good points. What stuck out to me was like those vulnerable moments. Like, you know, he talked about what was crazy to me was he talked about him and Steph and like how great they were, how great they could be, how great they could be, and like hearing the reasons of their separation. And you can still kind of feel like KG feel a little, you know, a little something about that, because when you look at like where they were at that point in time, they was young, but they were hooping back then. Like they were getting to it. And like, I always say, like, I wish Steph never left. I feel like if Steph never left, the trajectory of how everything would have turned out in the Western Conference would have been completely different, because they were balling and Steph was a problem on a consistent basis. But you know, hearing that, and then, you know, his trade to Boston, and hearing like, yo, he almost went to LA with Kobe. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get
being. When I tell you, I teared up when he said, wait a what?
You know what though? Quick thing about that. When you think about all the players who could have played with Kobe, Kobe really could have finished his career with like 9-10 rings.
I mean, he had the opportunity.
Right. When you think about all the players that, like, imagine Kobe and like KG though. Like, just
Kobe and KG, Kobe and Chris Paul. Like, Kobe had never had that point guard. Like, that was wild to me. And then, like, you know, his thoughts about Phoenix, of course, you know, Sarver ruined that. You know what I'm saying? He almost considered the Warriors, which the Warriors were still young at that point in time, but that would have been crazy to see how that would have been. And then hearing the story about the Celtics, what was great. It's like, I'm hard on Doc, but Doc managed some big personalities in Boston. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on now, because
after 2 years, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't the same.
You know, that was a great period of time. Like, I'm glad they didn't really talk about Brooklyn, because I don't want to think about KD.
ain't no reason.
I was definitely so happy about that. I just don't think that really was like a time in. that was needed to be talked about.
It was great to hear that and to hear about what he's doing after basketball to kind of keep those juices. Like, you know, he still gets up and works out. He still stays competitive. So it was great to see, like, you know, KG is like one of the greatest power forwards ever. Like, he's on that top five list of power forwards.
Okay, I'm about to ask the top five. I feel like
I feel
unanimously that we could say he's top five PG.
Definitely. Yeah. I was at Boston when his jersey was retired.
Really?
They did it.
And to see him tear up when Ray Allen was there.
Facts.
It was just because we all know, like, you know, the situation between, you know, him and Ray, and like for them to be a grown man and just work it out in front of everybody. It's on that day when, you know, they retired his jersey. It was, and I don't even think he knew he was coming until like that moment.
Yeah. I still feel like they were too emotional about that. I still feel like I'm a little dude, bro. But come on, bro. Like, the Celtics didn't do what they were supposed to do. Ray went and got his money. You know what I'm saying? Bull's name is
Jimmy Ring.
It was worth for a reason. He did what he had to do. You'll be all right. Like, shake that off. You know what I'm saying? Get out your emotions.
I mean, maybe when they, like, you know, like Cole Rick said, when they do the 30 for 30, we get the full, you know, insides. And
I would love to get
why he is truly upset. Like, he was truly upset.
I feel like it was more Rondo and Big Baby than anybody.
I can see that. It's like any person that leaves, like how Russ felt when KD went to the Warriors. Like, there was a minute where Russ was like, for real? Now, should have been.
I mean, why you lost, bro?
I know, but we lost together and you went to the team we lost to.
But I get that, but I mean, you know, they say you can't beat them, you join them.
I feel like that was different though, because the Celtics didn't do what they needed to do to keep Ray Allen. And they made it disrespectful.
It was LeBron.
Made it known. So it is.
Who would they hate for LeBron at that point? It was like, you don't go join
because you know Boston hates LeBron. I can tell you that because, you know, TD doesn't.
Ray could have went to
for
any
being
other
a LeBron
team.
Fan.
I'm
going to
be honest. Boston hates anybody with chocolate skin, but whatever.
I don't really have chocolate skin.
I resonate with you, man.
Chocolate, any kind of melanin. You know what I'm saying. They love Jason Tatum now. But let Jason Tatum have to make a business decision and get up out of there. And I don't care if any Boston fan come to me for anything. My brother live up in Boston, and I ain't been to Boston. Ain't nothing to do up in Boston. It's like Joakim Noah said, go to Cleveland for what? What you going to Boston for? I don't want to see nothing about no Salem witches. I don't care nothing about Boston. I hope Derek watching this because I want the smoke on Twitter. I don't like Boston. I don't care for Boston. Tell Boston.
I feel you.
I hope he watches. I want to smoke on Twitter.
Nah, I feel you.
I hate those fans. Those fans irk me. I hate Patriots fans. You know what I'm saying? I don't like Red Sox fans. All of that entire fan base is...
I'm a Patriot fan.
Well, that's your problem.
That's your problem.
You need to remove those toxic feelings, beloved, and release yourself from that.
No.
You silly.
You know what I'm saying?
He said beloved.
This beloved gotta go.
Gotta go.
I've been saying beloved for years. I mean it as disrespect, and I hope that's how it's always.
I mean it as a disrespect, and I hope.
Beloved.
What's her name? Iyanla Van Zant, when she be trying to.
Yes.
Stop it, beloved. That's
yeah, she get real, she get to it. Yeah, it definitely come out.
I got into an argument with somebody's text message, and I called them beloved every time, and they was ready to fight me afterwards.
I hope my
uncle's watching this and know that I meant every word.
Well, look, let's keep it moving, man. The KG interview to me was definitely absolutely dope because you get to just see the other side of a player you watched just kind of dominate the league while he was here, man. So you get to see the inside stories and get the inside perspective on what he was thinking when he was drafted, what he was thinking in high school. And like just seeing that transformation to become who he was to get there and remember. I mean, because we all think about anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
We think about that. Like,
which is my favorite, you know, where I get my inspiration from, you know, interviewed him and he told him he looked like a light bulb at the All-Star game. So you know, I love KG.
But Craig Sager, rest in peace, my guy. This is why you also understand. This is why I'm also understanding harder on people about the generation of NBA. Because you had KG, you had Tim Duncan, you had Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. You had some dogs back then. Like, they were fighting. They were punching you in the mouth. You got, like, a handful of people like that now in the league. Like, it's a different league, bro.
It is. Yeah. It's soft.
Definitely a lot.
Why are you laughing? True.
I need that recorded.
Why? So I didn't say LeBron is soft. That's not what I said.
LeBron plays in the soft league.
That we're not doing that.
LeBron plays in the soft
league. We are not doing that. We are not making this about LeBron. Can we move on?
Put some marshmallows in your cornflakes and soften up, sweetheart.
I don't eat cornflakes, and I definitely don't.
Oh my gosh, y'all!
If you want to fight, I'm willing.
I don't want to fight. I'm a lover. Trust me, I'm a lover. Next.
Off that. Hey, look, on to the next segment, man. Look, KG interview was dope. If you ain't seen it, go check it out, man. This is the next thing. My question to you: most unexpected teams that we're looking at in the Eastern and Western Conference. Now, I'm talking about like. Unexpected to where either they're doing bad, right? They in the middle of the pack. They should be better. Or you got teams at the top of the list. You like, hold on a second. Like, we knew y'all had potential, but what y'all doing for real? Like, so let me ask you that. Will, I'm going to start with you, bro.
Yeah.
Give me your most unexpected team that's doing well and then the most unexpected team that's doing bad that you believe that should be doing well.
The most unexpected, the Pelicans. Like, I remember telling y'all in the text message, like, I'm becoming a Zion fan. Like, the disrespect that Zion showed, and then what he said afterwards in the media scrum was amazing. Like, I need that energy. Like, yo, they put my people out last year. Come get this smoke. And then the Suns tried to come back and, you know, got rocked with a 35-piece.
They're on a 7-game winning streak right now.
Yes.
They're putting
He's number 9 together. On the list of 35 points on 65% shooting right now, Zion. Jesus.
They're literally number
2. He has 9 games like shooting like that.
They're number 2 in the power rankings. They're 5th in offensive rating and 3rd in defensive rating. Like they're killing the game right now. And they're great. And I love it. The Warriors. I don't know what's happening, but I feel like the Warriors are starting to bounce back after.
Feel like that win against Boston.
Yes.
Yes. Is the turnaround because I felt like Klay felt different after that win.
Yeah. And Klay even said, like, yo, I'm showing up for that game. Like, y'all gonna see this work happen. And I felt like that was that. So it's the tie between the Warriors and the Heat. Cause I didn't expect the Heat to be this bad either. Like when you're looking
at Atlanta,
but you know what? If Atlanta pulls off that Kuzma deal, Atlanta's gonna be scary, man.
If Atlanta does pull off that Kuzma deal, definitely see. But I'm shocked that they're still in. What are they, 11 right now?
They're
6.
Are they
Atlanta?
They're 6. Yeah, because everybody's like sitting at the same basically, but
they're all like right around 500. Like, they're it's not like that.
But yeah. we in the beginning we had I had them in top 5. But I did not have them in top 3.
I had them in top 6.
I didn't have Cleveland in top 3.
I had Atlanta top 8 and I had Cleveland top 8 too, but I didn't have Cleveland as high as they are. But I feel like
they're top 3. They're 3 right now.
Yeah, I feel like as the season progresses though, that's going to change. Cuz I want to see what the Sixers look like healthy with Maxey. I want to see how the Pacers do, because I feel like the Pacers are one trade away from being where they truly want to be. I ain't gonna lie to you, I could still see the Suns trading Ayton to the Pacers, because him and Monty they're not really vibing well. And then I want to see what's gonna happen with the Raptors, because I feel like the Raptors may end up making a bunch of differences for a bunch of teams. Where old boy at that was talking about the Raptors? He ain't here today.
But the Kings guys, are they a squad or are they just doing good right now? Because everybody in the West is just.
I think when you put anybody a caliber of DeMontis Sabonis on a squad, everybody gets better. De'Aaron gets more confident because he doesn't have to carry the squad. DeMontis is a 20 and 10 guy. Like, get the ball, put the ball in his hands, he'll give you 20 and 10. So when you have those pieces around you that are just kind of gelling. Now, do I see it lasting? I don't know. I don't know if I see it lasting. However, I mean, right now that they're on it, they're finding it, and if chemistry is always gonna get you some W's for sure.
The Kings got too many holes, and they don't have anybody outside of that starting lineup. They don't have anybody who can really step up. Like Dellavedova is not the answer because when he's on the court, when he's on the floor, they're getting outscored ridiculously. So I don't see that lasting. I do want to see exactly what's going to happen because they got Philly, Toronto, and Detroit. You know, Detroit just lost Kay Cunningham. So I would love to see how Toronto and Detroit, because if Philly don't step up, I'm going to Philly myself to talk to Doc.
He has to go. Doc has to. No, because, yes, well, you're a Laker fan and I'm a LeBron fan, but Doc – there's no way that the Lakers should have came back that game.
Yeah, we definitely should have lost that game.
See, here's
we thing. Did lose. I mean, we back. Did lose, but yeah, there's absolutely. No way that we should have came back and went into overtime, even though we lost
LeBron had lost.
Three turnovers back to back. But they missed free throws. AD
I don't know how AD I was hurt when he missed that free throw.
The crazy thing is
Austin
though,
Reeves missed free throws, but Doc had no adjustment for Austin. Like, what? How do you not make an adjustment for him?
When Joel is on the floor, they're literally the top team in the league, offensive and defensively. When Joel goes to the bench, they're like a negative 30.
Yes.
I personally believe we need to sign another center. I don't think Montrezl Harrell is going to be
you said that from the beginning, though, that was the dumbest pickup that they could have done.
And I want to see Maxey come back fully healthy. I like the way that Joel and James played in their last win. When Joel had 53 and James went like for 19 and 16. So I just think I want to see how they play well. Like, but I think by midseason, if they're still struggling and they're not in the top four, I could see Morey letting Doc go.
That makes sense.
I'm still not sold on James yet. I got to see him in a playoff run before I can be sold on James Harden. I can't. I mean, I did like his game, you know, but I just can't be sold on James Harden making a.
Yo, shout out to Melton, though.
He was pissing me off.
Yeah,
he was pissing me off. No, he was.
Shout him out, Brian. Shout him out.
Every corner, he was hitting them things, man. Every corner. I was
he
like,
said no, it didn't count. And I was like, yes.
If someone was going to step up that game, it was sure Melton. Yeah. He was sure knocking him down.
Let's talk about this comment from Coldrick, man, the Pacific Division. For those who don't know who are in this Pacific Division, I only know because my team is in that division. Lakers, Clippers, okay. Suns, Kings, and Warriors. Comment stated, look, the whole Pacific Division is just a little disappointing right now. And if we're going to be honest, besides really the Sacramento and Phoenix, I mean, the Clippers, they're right over 500. Lakers, we obviously know where they're at right now, under 500. Kings and Phoenix are doing their thing. But the Warriors, like you said earlier, they're one game over 500, 27 games into the season. You feel the same way? Disappointing to me is, I feel like it's an understatement when I'm really thinking about that whole division. Like a little bit more.
It's going to be different when Devin Booker come back, but sure. I do think it's time we put Chris Paul back in the oven because I think he almost done.
I just don't.
He doesn't have the same effect.
I just think that I don't know who said it. I don't know if it was a commentator who said it or if it was Candace Parker who said it, but their time has gone and passed.
What's crazy is Ayton is playing incredible right now.
Yeah. Even though it's their time together, Ayton, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Miles Bridget, Cameron, their time has gone. Their time has gone.
But, you know, I don't think anything's wrong because, like I said, Chris Paul has had a great run. I'm starting to see, like, I'm feeling like his time in the same way that –
And tell your boy be quiet, Will.
For where they are and what's happening on the West right now, their time is gone, and like to as together for them to actually compete and get a ring together. That's just not going to happen.
Who's going to trade for that massive Chris Paul contract?
No one. He's going to stay there. Would he
re-sign for?
I understand that. But no, he's going to stay right there and he's going to end right there. That's true. What I'm saying is the pieces that are around him.
He's averaging like lows. Like he's averaging 9 points, 4 rebounds, and 9 assists a game.
Look
like,
where the Pelicans took them last year without Zion.
So
that's facts.
So without Zion, and Zion's back healthy, balling right now.
That's what the issue is. I don't think it's the fact that Chris is trash, because I don't want to say trash.
He's not trash.
I think he's still hurt, but I think it's the fact that everybody has gotten better. And when you look at the Pelicans either haven't had CJ or Brandon Ingram, and they're on a 7-game winning streak. Like, that's scary when you're number one right now. Now, I do want to see, like, if that lasts. But what's crazy to me is the Pelicans are number one right now, and they could potentially get your man Victor in the draft, thanks to y'all. Rob Pelinka. Like, that's nasty work, yo. What's going to happen?
Like we literally, honestly, gave them literally our entire team.
And I told y'all when they did that, it was a stupid trade. You trading too much for AD. Ride that season out. Let that man be able to come and sign there if he wants to and do what you got to do. Yeah, you got that one chip, but you mortgage your entire future based off that. Now, Lonzo Ball's hurt right now, but when Lonzo was hooping, Lonzo was hooping. You know what I'm saying? Everybody who left
started hooping for real.
And now you praying for
everyone that left better. Started like literally.
Oh, Kuzma, B.I., Lonzo,
Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart.
Portland. You look at this side note. Let's take the next one. Side note: the next CBA will not look anything like it does now because of the monster guarantee contracts. You ain't lying.
Ben Simmons did that. Ben Simmons put a fork in that, bro. I'm not even trying to slander good buddy. Yeah, but he put a fork in that with that whole ordeal.
No cap. I'm shocked, therefore. I'm shocked.
Here's the thing, right? And somebody else mentioned this to me earlier, because you got to look at context of this, right? Yep. So they didn't
then number four,
they
really right?
played a hard schedule. The Sixers have been hurt. The Hawks have had their issues. The Pacers were the Pacers. I mean, they're a good team, but they're
regardless they're of whatever the situation is, regardless of whatever schedule they've had, they still number four.
It's only going to get you, but so far, so
KD then had two Eastern Conference Player of the Weeks. Like what?
Well, he ain't finna get it this week, so it don't really matter. Like
who's getting it? Your guy?
Oh yeah, he got to. There's nobody else. And one thing to consider with the Nets is, like, yeah, they're number 9th in offensive rating, but you have to look at the teams they play. They're still 18th in defensive rating. Like, and you got Kyrie out there wearing the grass cutter 8s and them New Balances.
Yeah. Did you see what he did to his sneaker though?
Yeah.
I'm free.
I ride with Kyrie forever. Like I ain't a fan of what he did. You know what I mean? Because he do some.
But my thing is, like, if you truly, truly felt that way, then you just re-sign with them.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. That's all I wanted to know.
It's crazy out here in these streets. You think somebody picks him up?
Kyrie?
Yeah.
Ultimately, probably. But I think it depends. I think it's probably going to be somebody that is truly struggling, because a lot of GMs are going to try to blackball him. He'll probably get the Kaepernick treatment, honestly.
Well, I'm talking in terms of company, shoe company.
It could be. They said, from what I heard, it could be New Balance.
I mean, it makes – if you're going to grab somebody, grab somebody. You know
they've
I mean?
Been coming up with some fire foot waves.
I ain't going to cat with you, though. Them K7s I got might be the most comfortable shoes I've put on my feet.
I'm not wearing them.
With all due respect to Kawhi's knee, I'm not wearing no New Balance basketball shoes. You got to prove
me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not dressing with them on. You know not, how my foot game.
But the design,
but yeah, I know you be rocking Jordans and hating on Jordan every week. But whatever.
I don't hate on Michael Jordan. I definitely don't. I like MJ.
You're a hater, see?
No, I'm not. Just because I like LeBron better, that's my opinion.
You had LeBron at the end of your Mount Rushmore. I still got beef with you about that. That's why we done. That's why we finished out here.
Oh well.
Hey yo, jump in her DM, y'all, because me and C done that.
Oh well, isn't it? Say what you say and stand on it, and I'ma stand. Say what I say.
You're standing on it. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Standing on it with a bad knee,
my boy.
You standing on it with a bad knee.
No, I'm not.
Standing on it with a bad knee.
Good knees.
It's gonna be a TikTok tomorrow. I can feel it.
That TikTok's already in the draft. I just didn't post it yet.
Look at that.
I ain't liking it.
Early morning Tuesday for you. Happy Tuesday.
I'm going under the comment section. I'm putting the side eye and I'm going away and I'm not liking it.
I ain't even mad at it. Look. Look, man, look, we appreciate y'all for tapping in with us as always, man. We got some good stuff to talk about. Again, our condolences to the family of Paul Silas. Celebratory and chats up to Brittany Griner and her family being able to get back for the holidays, man. Say it again.
She picked up a basketball.
Big facts. Absolutely. It's going to be crazy out here in these streets. She might have been over there hooping. Who don't even know? She might have been over there training the whole time. You know what I mean? Might have a crazy little sky hook when she come back. Shout out to all of them, man. Look, I think what we get to do every week, and we get to talk about basketball and talk about things that we love. Definitely come holler at us. Definitely come tap in with us. Let me get to this last comment before we go out. Kodrick, Kawhi knees are hurt before they were hurt before the New Balance, bro. You can trust New Balance. They was done before he signed with New Balance, my boy. Definitely, man. But look, continue to tap in with us. Continue to look for more great content, more basketball stuff. You want to talk about basketball, hit us up. We will gladly let you on the show. We just want to make sure that you back it up. Don't come on here talking crazy. You better come. If you want to come with the smoke, you better respect the smoke as well. So check it out, man. 494 here on MTMV Sports. As always, tap in. We'll see how they get in contact with you.
Sports Talk with C on all platforms.
Absolutely love it. Wildress, how do you get in contact with you, my boy?
Mr. Teddy Farrell on Twitter, William Teddy Farrell on Instagram, and Wildress Dem Sugar on Google.com.
What?
Hey, I am Miles Austin on all platforms, man. Holla and tap in with us, man. 494 here on MTMV Sports. Be safe.
Keep it locked right here. You are listening to MTMV Sports.